Praise and worship. Praising and worship is so important. It is when we praise and worship, we glorify and honor God. And I'm always reminded that every day should be a blessing. Every day is a gift from God. And if you would, just look at Psalm 118:24. Psalm 118:24 just lays it out how God wants us to see our days. And I'm an old school. I still use a paperback Bible. I'm not on technology. For those of you that were here last Sunday night, you guys heard me say I had my whole entire sermon presentation on my computer, and I deleted it. I will not make that mistake twice. So Psalm 118:24 reads, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that God has given you. God has given us an opportunity to wake up and go out and glorify and honor Him. He has blessed us with giving us breath to enjoy today. And every morning we wake up, that should be the first thing we acknowledge, is thank you, Lord, for today. It might not be a good day, but that's okay. God still gave us another day. And today we're going to talk about how do we as Christians overcome negativity. And negativity today is a big thing. And people were more negative prior to the whole virus. So our negativity is much more than just today's world of the virus and the media. It's a choice that we make to stay negative. Negativity is the expression of criticism or pessimism. Remember, I just read Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What's tomorrow? It's Monday. Oh, it's Monday. Got to get up. Got to go to work. Are you kidding me? Why are we so pessimistic about another day that God has given us? He's blessed us with a Monday to come, and then a Tuesday, and so forth. But yet, we might not see it that way tomorrow morning because all we're going to do is see something that we think is a negative. And it's not just work, it could be something else. Negativity, if we're negative, it can impact our relationships with people. If you are constantly negative about things, people aren't going to want to be around you anymore because you're taking their joy, their happiness. Or if you have a friend or a relationship with someone who is constantly negative, do you want to be around that person? No, because they take away your joy and your happiness. Some of us have friends or family members that the only time we hear from them is when they have something to complain about and be negative about, because they dwell on that negativity. And we have to be careful that we ourselves don't drop anchor and stay in what I call negative land. Because when we stay in negative land, we disconnect from God. Because we fail to see God working in our lives, and we fail to see the blessings of what God has given us. Psalm 118:24, another day. So oftentimes, we can be negative about our jobs. Go to work, boss calls you into his office, has a pay raise for you. Awesome, I got a merit increase. But it's not what you expected. And people can be negative about that because they feel they deserve more. Failing to recognize sometimes that maybe the company couldn't afford to give you more of a pay raise. Or maybe you were the only one on the team that got that raise. And maybe your boss went to bat for you and he or she was able to get it. You fail to see the blessings. You're making more than what you started off with that day. That's a blessing from God. One of the things that I had to have God show me is being negative about cars. Because I do not have the best of luck with cars. And I we sometimes miss the fact that for our older vehicles that we haven't had car payments on in 3-4 years, that that's a blessing. But when it breaks, all we can think about is the negative. My car's broken down 3 times since I've had it. And every time it broke down in my driveway. It broke down in my driveway. The batteries died. I had to go out and buy a new one and have it installed. I was thanking Jesus that that car died in my driveway. Thanking him. But a negative person will say, great, now I got to go out and buy a new battery and have it installed. Now I got to go spend $150 on a brand new battery. Missing the fact that that car was in your driveway. You didn't have to call a tow truck. You didn't have to worry about if it was your wife with your children in a store and the car doesn't start. You fail to see the blessing. Lisa and I were driving to Pennsylvania a few years ago, and many of you know this. We were on 84 West between New York and Pennsylvania, and there ain't much out in 84 West, but Port Jervis. And I was doing about 75 miles per hour, and I blew my left front tire. Boys and I and Luis, we heard this boom, but the car kept going. So I put on the tire gauge because I have a computer on it, and it could tell me if I'm losing air pressure in the car. And I was losing pressure. Luisa immediately started to Google. She found a Mavis just off the highway in Port Jervis. I was 12 miles away from Port Jervis. I got the car to Mavis. Had a brand new tire put on it. The guy came out, and he goes, how far did you drive on that tire? I said, about 12, 13 miles. He goes, I don't know how you got here with that tire like that. He goes, there was a 2-inch gash on that side of it. And I said, because Jesus blessed me and got me here. A negative person would have only seen, man, my tire blew. Now I got to pay $150 to $180 to have a brand new tire. Missing the blessings that God provided you, the safety he provided. We can't live in negative land. Because when we live there, we disconnect from God. And I can't think of a better example of a group of people that were negative from God blessing them when the Israelites were. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to read 2 verses, 11 and 12. And these verses will be coming up on the screen. And just to give a backdrop of this, here the Israelites were approaching the Red Sea. They put an encampment up, and they woke up, and they looked out, and they saw the Egyptian army trailing them. And this is how they approached Moses. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Are you kidding me? These individuals were slaves of Egypt for hundreds of years. They were beaten. They were held in captivity. There was no freedom for them. And God sent Moses and Aaron to speak his word and have them freed, showing his mighty power to them. And then as they approach the Red Sea, all they see is the negativity. Wanting and wishing to go back to be under captivity, they disconnected from God. And we as Christians can do the same thing. When we fail to connect or plug in, we fail to receive our energy source. I'm not talking physical energy. I'm talking the spiritual energy that the Holy Spirit and God can give us. Think of it like this. Does your TV work if it's not plugged into an outlet? You can hit every button you want, and I promise you that TV is not going to turn on. How many of us have gone around our homes when a storm comes through and we lose power in the evenings and we go and flick a switch just out of habit? What happens? Nothing. There's no power because you're not connected. Luisa bought a toaster oven a few weeks ago. and her and Kyle make waffles, bagels, English muffins in it every morning. And I was downstairs working this week. I was like, you know what? A bagel sounds good. I haven't had a bagel in a long time. Let me go put a bagel in the toaster oven. While it cooks, I'll come back down here and work. So I went upstairs, took the bagel out of the refrigerator, cut it in half, stuck it in, put the setting on medium light on toast. Walked downstairs. About 5 minutes later, I'm waiting to hear that ding to let me know when it's done. Well, I didn't hear a ding after 8 minutes. I'm thinking, oh man, I burnt my bagel. So I go upstairs, open the toaster oven up. My bagel's as cold as anything. I look at the toaster oven. It's still on the settings that I put, so nothing moved. I thought maybe I forgot to turn the on switch on. So I hit the power that indicates that the light that shows it's on power. That's not the power button that turns it on. I look behind it. I failed to plug it into the wall. And that's the same thing we as Christians can do. We can forget to plug into God. We can forget to realize the power and authority that God has in our lives. We can put God on the bench, use a sports analogy. We can put God on the bench and tell him he's not starting today. We minimize his power because we think sometimes his power is being like our political leaders, a world leader, a military leader, your boss. Those individuals have power and authority. But the difference between those individuals and God is their power is limited. God's power is unlimited. Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah 32:17 reads, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." We can't go out and remake what God's already created. You and I don't have that power. But yet God did and still does have that power. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing that God cannot accomplish for us if we are connected to him. And we stop trying to put ourselves in the position of power and removing him from it. If you put God first, you'll see his power at work in your life. And you'll see that negativity that so many times we fester on will be gone. Because we'll see the blessings. I'm going to go home today. Oh, sorry. I'm going to go on my way home and I'm going to buy a bench press. And I'm going to buy 300 pounds of weights. And these massive pipes I have here in the side of me, I'm going to lay underneath that bench and I'm going to bench press 300 pounds. Now, how many of you actually believe I'm going to bench press 300 pounds today? None of us. Because there's no possible way I'm going to be able to bench press 300 pounds. I could lay underneath that bench and struggle, and I promise you it's not going to budge. But God can move mountains. I can't lay underneath that bench and say, okay, up. It isn't going to work. But God can speak it, and he can do it. Don't minimize God's power in your life. Don't fail to connect to him. Connect to him through his word. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "For the word of God is living and powerful." Let's stop there. For the word of God, 66 books of this Bible, is alive. Our Lord and Savior is not in a tomb. He's not in a grave. He is risen. His word is alive in us. The Holy Spirit, when you spend time with God and you connect with him, he gives you power and authority to understand these scriptures. He gives you power and authority to memorize scripture in your time of need. He will remind you of scripture. Think about the power and authority that you hold. when you're in God's Word and you're connected to God. At the end of Jeremiah 32:17, it stated there's nothing too hard for Him. So, in truth, through His Word of God, in our lives, there should be nothing too hard for us. The verse continues, "And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We do not have the power to change someone's heart. You don't have the power to change a spouse, a friend, a loved one's heart. Only through God and the Holy Spirit will a heart get changed. We don't hold that power and authority to do it. But God can use you as a vessel to share His gospel with someone, to share that love that He showed us at the cross. And by doing that, you plant a seed so that the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can work. Do not minimize God's power and strength in our lives. Three things that describe God's power is omnipresent. His presence is everywhere at the same time. How often do we feel sometimes, "God, where are you at?" Because we fail to recognize that He's with you no matter what. If you live in that negative aspect of life, you only continue to see the storms after storms after storms in life, waiting for the next shoe to drop. Oh, what can happen next? Oh, what's today going to be like? How bad can this get? How much worse can this get? You fail to see the blessings of God. You fail to see the rainbows at the end of every storm. The light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train. That light is our Savior, Jesus Christ. The relationship with God through Jesus Christ is not meant to be complex. And I said this Sunday night. It is not supposed to be a complex relationship. And many of us have complex relationships with people in our lives. But with God, it's not meant to be complex. It's supposed to be simple. Follow me, and it's good. It doesn't mean that there aren't trials or tribulations and that it is good. It means that He is with you and He will lead you through it. If we just invite God into our battles, that second song we sang, there was a verse in the song that referred to Him being the Lion of Judah. A lion is a powerful animal. It is a king. If we invite Him into our battles, we cannot lose. If we invite Jesus into our lives in every aspect of what He wants to be part of and not what we want Him to be part of, we can't lose. Again, it doesn't mean you don't have trials and we don't have struggles, but we have a victor in Jesus. He's omniscient. God's infinite awareness, understanding, and insight. Oh, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. There isn't nothing that God hasn't dealt with in someone else that He's not going to deal with in you. So how dare we minimize God? He's omnipotent, having unlimited power, able to do anything. I do not hold any of these three powers that God does. So therefore, I need to stop minimizing who God can be in my life. I need to plug into Him. I need to connect with Him. Turn to Ephesians 3:20, please. Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him, Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask." Exceedingly and abundantly. Those words are almost indescribable of what God can do for you. Beyond anything that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power is the Holy Spirit. That power is God in Jesus in us. And if you're not connected to that power and plugged into it, then you're not going to feel it at work in your life, because all you're focusing on is yourself and not focusing in on Him. There is nothing too great that God cannot do for us. He is a healer. Go to the Gospels. You'll see Jesus healing a blind man, healing lepers. He can heal you as well. You just have to have the faith in understanding God's power and authority. Through God's word, I told you guys earlier, we have that power and authority. We have power and authority over Satan. Through the blood of Jesus, we have that power and authority. And if you quote scripture, he leaves. James 4:7 says, drawing closer to God, and the devil will flee from you. Well, the only way to draw close to God is connecting with him. When you get into that negative land, you're inviting Satan. And sometimes we give him way too much credit, because it wasn't him that put us there. It was our own choices that put us there. Well, once you're there, you open that door, you're inviting him in to cause more trouble and to leave you under that umbrella of being negative. Because if he can drive a wedge between you and God, being negative, being angry, or being bitter, he robs you of glorifying and honoring God. And we don't want to allow that to happen. Because in everything we do and say should be to glorify and honor God. Yes, we all have negative things, it's hot outside, things of that nature. That's okay. It's when we stay there and we land there and all we do is see the negativity in life. Psalm 118:24, for this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe things don't go the way you want them to during that day. But if you just find 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blessings during that day, you'll see God at work. But if you choose not to look for those blessings during that day, well, then you're choosing to miss out on what God's done for you. Isaiah 26:4. Reads, trust in the Lord forever, and Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Now, remember what we read in Ephesians 3:20? The power that's within you? It's that everlasting strength that God gives us. If we connect to it, we're going to feel that power. But if we fail to connect to it, then we're going to miss out on what God's given us, that power and authority in our lives through Him. Isaiah 40:29 reads, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go home and He's going to give power to the weak to bench press that 300 pounds. He gives us power in our weakness, because we connect to Him during our most difficult times. He gives us strength to overcome. All we have to do is invite Him into the battles. Invite Him in. Take Him by the hand. Say, Lord, take me by the hand today. I can't do this without You. Remove this fear that's in my life and this negativity. We talked about fear a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 41:10. The first two words in that verse say what? Fear not. It's a commandment from God that we're not supposed to fear what God wants us to do for Him. And the rest of that verse is a promise from God. And we know that God cannot break His promises to us, because if He did, that'd make Him a sinner, and He's not a sinner. So when you're in that negative aspect and you're just living there, reach out to God. Take a moment. Sit back. Clear your heart, clear your mind. Go into God's Word. Hebrews 4:12, it is alive and it is powerful. Go into God's Word. Ask Him to remove that negative thoughts that you're having about whatever is going on in your life. And say, Lord, show me. Enter this battle with me. I can't fight this fight alone. In our military battles, how do our soldiers win great wars? Because they have great generals who come up with a battle plan and they show them what the victory is going to look like. That's the same thing as what God and Jesus does for us if you invite Him into your battles. If you don't invite Him into your battles, then you're going to struggle. And it's going to be hard to overcome that negativity. Today's media is negative. Shut it off. Open God's Word. Focus on the positive of who God is in our lives. Just turn it off. Stop reading it. Stop listening to it. And draw yourself closer to God so you can see the work of what He has prepared for us. Going back to the Israelites in Exodus 14. Verses 13 through 16. Sorry, guys, I need a drink of water. After the Israelites had complained to Jesus, Moses said this in 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Stop it. Just stop it. Do not be afraid. Stand still and let God work in your life. Stop trying to be in control of everything. We all love to be in control, right? It's human nature for us to want to be in control. But when we get in control, we cause confusion. We cause more chaos. But when God gets control, He's not the author of any confusion. So there will be no chaos in our lives. Which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Invite Him into your battles and let Him do the fighting for you. And watch God work. You have to be a servant. You have to be connected. You have to be plugged into Him. But if you let Him fight for you and just hold your peace, you'll see victory. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Go forward? Who's going to just walk right into the Red Sea? "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." The power that God has. How awesome it must have been to see the Red Sea split up. Think about how God has split the Red Sea for you. I can think of countless times where I've approached, metaphorically speaking, the Red Sea. And I was like, how am I going to cross this without a boat? Because of where I was at in my life, thinking and minimizing God's power. And when I stopped doing that, and I went back to verse 13, where it says, "Do not be afraid and stand still." And then when I go to verse 14, when Moses said, "The Lord will fight for you." And after I realized that, I saw the Red Sea get split. And I was able to walk across it. Think about your own selves and your own, how God has split the Red Sea for you many times to overcome things in your life. "And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." The Egyptians followed him in, thinking they were going to keep going through a split Red Sea. But God's almighty in power protected His children And as they crossed through the Red Sea, the Egyptians had the water come down on top of them, and they were destroyed. The Israelites minimized God's power and strength in verses 11 and 12, failing to remember the 10 plagues that God inflicted on Egypt to free them. In verses 13 and 14, the Israelites saw God again at work with all his power and authority in splitting the Red Sea and allowing them to escape their enemy. Think of God. He's a rock. He's a strong tower. These are some of the names of God. He's a shield. He's a fortress. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. None of those are weak. All of those are strength. But all we have to do is armor up every morning. Put on the armor of God. Get out of that negative, pessimistic thinking that we choose to stay in sometimes. And walk and talk with God and see the blessings that He has for you. Now, if you don't know Jesus, then it's impossible for you to be plugged into Him because you don't have a relationship with Him. For you to have a relationship with Christ, you have to acknowledge that He died on the cross for us. And He died for every sin. Not just some, but all sin. And you have to acknowledge what He said in John 14:6, where He said, when He said, "I am the truth, I am the life, and no one shall come to the Father but through me." You're not going to get to heaven on your own deeds, on your own works. You're going to fail. But if you accept Christ as your personal Savior and you see Christ on the cross who bore your sins, who rose again after 3 days, who currently sits at the right-hand throne of God, then you'll have that power and authority and you can connect to God. There is nothing that God cannot accomplish in our lives if we stop minimizing His power. Through Christ, you have the victory. Accept Him if you don't know Him. Take this time, open your heart to what God's Word is saying. And realize that there's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by grace are you saved." That there's nothing lest you boast. It's not of you. It's of Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For those who believe Him in Him shall not perish." Replace the first words of that verse that says, "For God so gave the world," and replace it with your own name. "For God so gave Kevin Dunnigan His only begotten Son." Make it personal. God yearns for relationship with us. The earth was not His greatest creation. We were His greatest creation. We were created to have a relationship with Him, to honor Him and to glorify Him, to connect with Him, to be plugged in with Him, so that we can overcome the trials and the tribulations that are out there. And they're there. And we all have them. We're all going to have them. But through the blood of Jesus, we overcome them. God did not intend for us to live defeated lives. God intended us to live a life of victory through the blood of Jesus. Power and authority that we have in Jesus. And we forget that. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. If you don't believe me, turn to Romans 8. 35 through 39. And these are some of my favorite verses to go to when I'm in that negative world that I live in sometimes. Paul said this, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? So what can separate you from the love of Christ other than you disconnecting from God? Now, we can't lose our salvation. Once saved, you're saved. But you can disconnect from your relationship with God the Father because of your own selfishness. Paul continues, as it is written in verse 36, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are not to live a defeated life. We have Jesus. We have the ultimate victory, the ultimate power and authority when you have Jesus in your life and you're connected to Him. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ once you've accepted Him as your Savior. Paul covers pretty much everything that can attempt to separate us from it. But there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. There should be no trial, no tribulation in your life that disconnects you from God. There is nothing. John 10, 28 and 29. I didn't give you guys these verses. Jesus said this. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Go back to Romans 8, 35 through 39. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Because we can't be snatched out of the hand of God. Jesus said this in verse 29, "My Father, who has given them to me." Do you realize you're a gift to Jesus? You are a precious gift. Think about the most precious gift you've ever given someone. Maybe it's gold, maybe it's jewelry, whatever it is. You're more precious than that. You are a gift to Jesus. "My Father who has given them to me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Security in Jesus. Security in God the Father. So why do we minimize God's power in our lives? Why do we continually want to stay in that negative aspect of everything going bad when we fail to see the blessings? If you're having a bad day, write three blessings. Try to find three blessings that day. Then the next day, go to seven and continue to go forward every day. And then you see the blessings and you're going to stop focusing on the negative. And you're going to see the blessings of who God is in your life because you connect to Him. You're plugged in. You have a relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to close here with Isaiah 54, 17. Isaiah 54, 17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." No weapon formed against us shall prosper. There is nothing that can harm us unless we allow it to do it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We serve an almighty God who all He wants is a stronger relationship with us. And if we just surrender all to Him, you'll see it happen. You'll get victory, not defeat. every knee, every tongue, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done in this world, your knee will bow to him and your tongue will confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're either going to meet Jesus as your Savior or you're going to meet him as your judge. I want to meet him as my Savior because judges intimidate me and I'm scared to go before them. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still going to be a little nervous going before Jesus as my Savior. But I'd fear him more if I didn't know him. Because I want to spend my eternity with him. And I want to spend my days here on earth glorifying and honoring him. And not seeing the negatives, but seeing the positives of how he works in my life and how he can work in your life. Jesus is the greatest relationship that you can ever have. It will trump anything and everything. It is the greatest relationship. And I'm going to give you anyone here who doesn't know him an opportunity to come to know him. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the victory you've given us at the cross. Father, I ask God for anyone here who doesn't know you as their Savior. Lord, that you show them what your Son did for them on the cross. Lord, that all their sins can be forgiven if they just accept Christ as their personal Savior, Father. Lord, I ask God that you speak to hearts. Lord, that if there are any barriers that are keeping these individuals from you, Father God, that you remove them. You pierce their heart. As Hebrews 4:12 says, Father. And you show them, Father, who Christ is. That he's just not a story. He is truth. Lord, that his words were truth. Well, Father, he spoke more about hell than he did anything else in the Gospels. Why? Because he was warning us, Father. Narrow is the way. And that narrow way is Jesus. And Lord, I ask God that you just pierce hearts today with your truth. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that they just surrender. And they just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned against you. Romans 6:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one here who is perfect. Only you were perfect. Father. God, right now, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to come into my life, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me a new creature in Christ. Lord, I acknowledge that your Son died on the cross, and that he rose again after 3 days, and that he is currently sitting at your right hand. And Lord, I acknowledge that I cannot enter your kingdom without first accepting that I am a sinner and accepting Christ as my personal Savior. Father, I ask this in all your wonderful and powerful name. Amen.